the struggle that's happening in King Drew. But why don't you give us, for folks who don't know anything about King Drew, why don't you give us a little bit of a breakdown of the history of the hospital? What was the impetus of even having, you know, this major institution of both research and a healthcare facility in South Los Angeles?
Well, the major impetus for the institution itself was a lack of healthcare in the region of South Central Los Angeles County. Prior to that hospital being there, there was absolutely no hospital to cover that entire region of the city. The closest hospital was County USC, which was quite a distance away.
So, you know, let's talk a little bit also right now about the number of uninsured. I was at one of the talk that you gave once, and you gave this, you know, some numbers about the number of patients to physicians and compared that to even, like, other local county hospitals like UCLA Harbor. Can you give us some of those numbers? Just because there was a clear, I think, link between really this place is still understaffed and underfunded compared to other hospitals.
Right. If I could just go back a little bit to give people an understanding of what King Drew Hospital is. King is one of five hospitals in the county public hospital system, which is the largest public hospital system in the United States, a county public hospital system within the United States. And the five hospitals are geographically distributed across L.A. County like a healthcare spine. So each hospital actually has an important role, you know, by geography and population. And King plays an extremely important role within that spine. The media would have you believe, and some other people would have you believe, that reducing services at the hospital really would not affect that many people. Well, that couldn't be further from the truth. As we had discussed before, if you look at a five-mile area around the hospital and kind of compare five-mile area around, you know, well, each of the hospitals to make a fair comparison, what you find within that small area, because, again, it covers the most densely populated area in Los Angeles County, within that small area, there, by the U.S. Census, there are 250,000 more people than the entire city of Las Vegas. There are 100,000 more people than the city of Baltimore. There are almost as many people in that small five-mile area as the entire city of San Francisco. So it's not a small number of people that are affected by that hospital. And not only is that the area with the most people within their radius, it's also the area that has the least number of physicians. For instance, in comparison to Harbor, which is a fine hospital, which actually covers an area of lesser need in terms of population, in terms of types of people that will actually access a county hospital. What we find is, even though that the service population is about one-third of that of King, the number of specialist physicians in that area to cover those people are about four times higher. So there's about a 10 to 15-fold difference in terms of number of physicians that are available to actually service a particular population between King and some of the surrounding areas.
So talk to us about what's happened. I mean, I know, if I'm correct, I think they closed the ICU first, then the trauma center, and there's been, you know, a whole process of going through accreditations and through, you know, there's constantly testing if there's a high quality of service at the hospital. I know the federal government just did one recently, and then the private insurance have also done it. So can you talk to us about what's been the process, sort of the gutting of the hospital, you know, in the last couple of years?
Well, there's a couple of things happening here. First of all, the controversy about the trauma center, and some people have actually talked about the NICU, which is an intensive care unit for premature babies. Mm-hmm. All of these things in the last year or so, there's been movement from the Department of Health Services, which is the agency that's over all of the hospitals that you haven't really heard too much about, but they're really the ones that are responsible for all the hospitals. The broader issue is trying to reduce or marginalize King Hospital. This is really the beginning of what one would call healthcare rationing. It just so happens that the individuals in the area surrounding King are a disenfranchised population. They're a population that does not have a great influential voice. So when you look across the system and you talk about which facility is most vulnerable to actually making huge cost reductions, then King is the one that's the most vulnerable. And I think that's what we're really seeing here in terms of, like, it's really a question of social justice and health equity. Now, who actually deserves health care? And I think that's what the real issue is here.
Right, and we're talking about a community that's primarily made of Latinos and Blacks.
Absolutely.
And so let's talk about what in particular. I know that there was a huge struggle around the trauma center that the community actually responded to. But let's talk about the role of the L.A. Times in particular. It seems like there's been, I mean, I don't know another word, but a very vindictive approach to, you know, the coverage of the hospital. Can you talk to us about when did this start, and what's your view about the coverage that the LA Times has been providing around the fight around King Drew?
Well, okay, there are really several agendas here that actually come together. One, in terms of LA Times, I'm a little disappointed by what I would term irresponsible journalism. And what we're seeing here is selective information. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, this is the same thing that happened with Iraq, weapons of mass destruction. Information is presented without presenting some of the other really important factors that people need to actually make judgments about what's happening. What the LA Times is, on a campaign, I believe, this is my opinion again, to get another Pulitzer Prize. This is just an easy one. So anything that flies in the face of their agenda in terms of getting that prize is not useful for them. But another agenda here also is an agenda, I think, from the Department of Health Services. One of the things that's not really clear, I mean, many of the things that the Times points out is actually true in terms of leadership, in terms of responsibilities. However, what's not pointed out is that much of that responsibility does not reside at the hospital. Where that responsibility resides is at the next level up of the Department of Health Services, who has responsibility for the hospital. So if there are a lack of resources, a lack of capacity, a lack of oversight, that's all resides at the level of Department of Health Services. And that's something that hasn't been pointed out, because the hospital itself does not have control over those resources. The hospital itself is not the one that can say whether or not, you know, what the nursing staff would be, what the doctor staff would be, how many resources are available, in terms of hiring and everything else. That really resides someplace else.
Hmm. Well, you know, we're talking to Dr. Richard Baker. He's the Assistant Dean of Research at Charles Drew University, and we're talking about the King Drew situation. You know, as you know, my day job is as an organizer with the Labor Community Strategy Center and the Bus Riders Union, and we particularly have had a huge struggle with the LA Times, where, because they're the sort of, you know, only game in the whole town, they could decide what's going to be the news or not. And I know one of the biggest things that they sort of, you know, they haven't really paid attention has been the question around how racist these attacks have been. And in fact, they're even raising, you know, sort of bringing out the contradictions between Blacks and Latinos, almost selling it as if, like, this is a huge power struggle between Blacks and Latinos. What do you think about that?
I think it's very unfortunate, and you're absolutely right. They're the ones that brought up the issue of race. When I quoted those statistics about how many people are affected, I didn't even say by race. It doesn't really matter. Those people could be green, they could be orange, they could be anything. They're people. And that's what really matters. And it's really an issue of, will people in that community, in this community, be given adequate health care? And they've actually turned that around. It's unfortunate that they would even, you know, bring that issue up. Because, again, the people who are affected by it are primarily, it's all people in Los Angeles, but primarily in that community, it's brown and black people.
Well, yeah, and also I think the crazy thing is that in many ways, you know, one of the reasons why this hospital was set up was, you know, as a result of the 1965 Watts Rebellion, and where there was a huge necessity, and it's amazing to me to see how, you know, things have sort of backtracked on us, because Now, any question around equity, any issue around justice, any justice around racial justice and racial equality is sort of thrown out of the window, like, wow, it's no longer no important. You know, both, I would say a lot of West Side liberals no longer feel sort of the pressure to sort of have the responsibility, you know, the moral responsibility to provide these type of services. Government is constantly, more than trying to sort of expand rights for people, are constantly trying to cut it. So let's talk about the folks who do really control this whole situation, with the County Board of Supervisors. So can you give us a breakdown who in particular has led some of these, you know, sort of these attacks against the hospital?
Well, I mean, everybody's read. It's been Zeb and the rest. But in some measure, we haven't held them accountable. They're politicians. They're five politicians, and they really should be accountable to the community and their constituency. And in part, in order to hold them accountable, I think in part they've gotten bad information. And they've allowed very, very bad management, and they allowed this to become a political issue rather than an issue of health equity. I think what's going to come up, because there is some litigation that has started already, and really what we're talking about, we're talking about the healthcare equivalent of Brown versus Board of Education. Mm-hmm. This is really a civil rights issue, mm-hmm. and this is really an issue based upon, does everyone deserve adequate healthcare? And when the Times, in their attacks, and again, they're race-based. I mean, I know one article had specifically said that the only reason the hospital was there is because of African Americans, and it was, you know, jobs and whatever, which is a ridiculous proposition given why the hospital was originally put there and given some of the needs of the community now. Again, that's, you know, health is not race-based.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're right, and I think hopefully this litigation will be the equivalent of Brown versus Board of Education for health, because for those people who feel that health is a right in this country, I think this is really the ground. People all over the country are looking at what's happening right here, because this is a case of healthcare rationing. The county has already said they have to save $500 to $750 million, and they're going to save it on the backs of the people who are the least influential. They're going to save it on the backs of people who don't go to the cocktail parties with LA Times editors, mm-hmm. and who don't go to the cocktail parties with big developers and with Board of Supervisors, right? So this is where they're going to do the rationing right here, unless we say no. If this happens, if this is successful in Los Angeles, I can guarantee you this is happening in at least a dozen places across the country, where they're looking at, you know, how can they save and do they really have the responsibility of providing, you know, social and health services for these communities. So it's an important point.
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting that what you're saying, because I think one of the things is we shouldn't be ashamed, you know, to say, hey, black people and Latino people deserve to have healthcare, good healthcare centers, have, you know, the equitable and good services that could be provided to the community. But yet in many ways we're sort of shying away more constantly and constantly. One of the things that I always sort of, you know, as you know, with the Bus Riders Union, we brought a Title VI lawsuit against the MTA, you know, given that they had been building a separate and unequal transit system. And it's interesting that one of the questions around services is that it's a huge challenge, right? Because, yeah, healthcare sort of in UN talk is a right, but does the Constitution really, the U.S. Constitution itself, does it really protect you to even have healthcare, right? So I think that's going to be an exciting lawsuit. How's that going? Where's that at? Has that already happened?
Well, it's in the process, and it actually needs more people. You know, it's scaring a lot of people. I can tell you. I'm not free to say some of the things that happen in the background, but it's actually moving large forces, because people understand what the implications of that are. If I can just step back in terms of equity argument and bureaucracies, one of the things that you said that King is under tremendous scrutiny, and this is something that I'd like people to understand. The King Hospital that you see today is not the King Hospital that you saw 5 years ago, or even maybe 3 years ago. In 2002, King Hospital was, I would say, completely put under the control of Department of Health Services, you know, ostensibly to, I don't know why. But since that time, there has been a systematic disassembling of the hospital. It started with 16% budget cuts. It started with workforce reductions, including over 450 employees, including almost 100 nurses that were taken out. And bear in mind now that every consulting company since that time has said that the major problem has been, you know, a problem in terms of capacity, in terms of having nurses, in terms of having resources. In fact, today there's a company there, the consulting company, the Navigant company, is there for a reason. They are there because the Department of Health Services has a documented history of failure that the federal government has recognized. The federal government has twice tried to bail out L.A. County with billion-dollar bailouts, one in 1995 and one in 2000.
That was mainly for, like, primary care, right?
Well, that was for all care. They, mm-hmm. they said, look, you need the system. It's a bureaucracy that's untenable. It doesn't work. It's bad management. You need to change the system. And twice they promised to change the system, and twice, like most bureaucracies, social bureaucracies, they did not change. They didn't want to change. They were unwilling to change. So there were $2 billion failures. So $2 billion. CMS, organization that comes in, that funds, you know, all of the federal health care, they had come in. They said enough is enough. And they basically put King Hospital in foster care. That's what you see right now. By them bringing in Navigant Consulting, there was a vote of no confidence for the people who are running the hospital. And I'm talking about, again, L.A. County Department of Health Services. They said, no, we need to bring in our people. Now, what they've done, and again, the Times has done their spin, they've generated a document, because these are healthcare professionals. Most of the people who had been previously running the hospital were people, they were financial people. They did not have training or qualifications in healthcare per se. In fact, many of the people in the upper echelons had never run a hospital. I don't know if anybody had ever run a hospital ever. And what had happened as this consulting group came in, which is now turning around the hospital, they've identified many of the areas of mismanagement that King was under in the past 2 or 3 years. And that's what you're hearing now, some of the recommendations to change the hospital. But recognize that the hospital in the community is equivalent of an abused facility and abused community.
We're talking to Dr. Richard Baker, Assistant Dean of Research at Charles Drew University, and we're talking about the situation in King Drew Hospital. So let's go backtrack a little bit around the struggle to maintain the trauma center, because it seemed to be, it really became a very popular, you know, campaign inside South LA and throughout the city. I mean, you saw, you know, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, the mayor of Los Angeles, you know, sort of being up in the front of the struggle, or being at least an ally to the community against the cutting of the trauma center. Why was this so unsuccessful, given that here, you know, these are some of the most powerful, you know, elected officials in the city and the region, and weren't really able to move them? I mean, we also had, you know, people in the church, in the faith-based organizations. We had a lot of organizations, community organizations out there. We had, I'm assuming, the unions were out there. Why didn't it even have any repercussions for the county board of supervisors? I think even Yvonne Burke didn't even vote against it. She sort of went neutral, as I remember.
Well, I think the jury is still out. This is really a longer campaign, because it's really, it's as I said before, it's more than just a trauma center. It's about the issue of health equity. And if we go back to your comments about the Times has they've been successful in the equivalent of a smear campaign. And what people have seen is what they think the perception is that here's a facility that's providing less than adequate care. So it's difficult to defend that, and we're really trying to help the community. What we have not seen is the plan, the commitment, and the political will to say that, okay, if you don't like what's happening here now, where's your political will to put the best available people and resources here to take care of that community. That's what has not been said. And again, this is very convenient for the powers that be. If we as residents of Los Angeles County begin acting like stockholders instead of stakeholders, I think it'd be much more useful. For instance, if we go back to the understanding that this is really about money, power, politics, and et cetera, we for 3 to 6 months in the newspapers every day, Board of Supervisors meeting, we were talking, there was talk about the Drew School and its relationship to the hospital. And we're talking about a budget reduction actually at the Drew School. We're talking about whether or not Drew was going to get $14 million. Or $12 million. And somehow this money was actually, Drew's interaction was actually influencing the hospital in a negative way. Well, in point of fact, the DHS budget is between $4 billion and $6 billion. So while they wasted our time looking at the $2 million or the $3 million that Drew would or would not get, they actually took us away from the fact that, well, somehow this $4 billion to $6 billion has been mismanaged enough to actually put the hospital at this level of jeopardy. So again, this is complicity. This is complicity to like move the light from where it should be to these other things that are, you know, it's a culture of blame, a culture of bait and switch.
But Dr. Baker, don't you think though, when, you know, it's interesting to me when people talk about mismanagement or corruption, particularly when it deals with institutions that deal with primarily people of color or provide a service, people call it mismanagement if, you know, when a hospital's not going right. But if you look at the case in MTA, you know, you have, you know, these multi-billion dollar construction companies getting, you know, boondoggle projects to build for, you know, billions of dollars to sort of serve the needs of the suburbs. And nobody there raises questions of mismanagement or corruption. I mean, very little of it, you know. Do you think a lot of that has to do sort of with nobody wanting to talk about race in L.A., nobody want to talk and address white supremacy and how it functions? In other words, the reason why the L.A. Times puts that out is because they know they have a readership that wants to believe that a hospital that serves primarily blacks and Latinos is going to be, you know, innately bad.
Right.
So how do we address that? I mean, because on some level we should not be ashamed about the type of service that's very important for people to have.
Right. No, I agree. And again, we always should address that higher ground, and when we have to consistently address the higher ground. But, you know, people are driven by self-interest. And what I've been hearing is that, well, that's okay. But you know what? If you live on the west side, you live some other place, what does that have to do with me? And again, the way I address this is, look, this is, again, for the healthcare. This is a $4 to $6 billion a year budget industry. That money, and when they lose $500 to $750 million a year, that's your money. So even if we just talk about self-interest, the focus has been changed because they drag out, as you say, they drag out the usual suspects, and they'd much rather focus on what they would say is inferior hospital, inferior healthcare, or inferior people. Actually, that's what the implication is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those people, be they what they are, because, you know, one of the particularly egregious things that LA Times was give the impression that, you know, that all the doctors all the doctors at King are African American, and that could be nothing from further from the truth. In fact, some of the doctors that they pinpointed, and this is out of many, 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 many doctors, but some of the doctors that were sensationalized were not doctors of color. Okay, some of the doctors that were supposedly protected because of race were not doctors of color. Okay, but you just see the names, and the implication is, again, going back to some, you know, the base feelings of people is, you know, basically what they do. But again, they're more important issues, as you bring out, that we really should be talking about.
Dr. Baker, give us what's next. I mean, I know that there's a coalition that's been building around saving King Drew. What's the next steps that people are taking to protect this institution?
Well, I think again, as you said, what's happened. I think this is just the beginning, and what we really need to be talking about across LA County, if not across the country, is again the issues of social justice and health equity. And I think that this needs to just be part of a much larger campaign and a much larger discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we need to bring people in, and we need everybody to look themselves in the mirror and decide what it means to be an American, what it means to be a resident of Los Angeles, and who they are. The LA Times, as you said, has made it very easy for people to dismiss this as something that it really isn't. And I think we all need to work very hard, particularly given the sweep of the red states across this country.
Mm-hmm.
I think people, at least in California, if not Los Angeles, need to say, you know, this is what's important to us. And in fact, I think you have a wonderful idea. There's people in terms of an amendment, for one thing. I think there needs to be an amendment. I think it needs to be a statement in the Constitution that speaks to, again, healthcare equity, if not social justice.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that, well, the crazy thing about the red states and that Mr. Bush won the election is that he's also aggressively moving on civil rights legislation. Even, you know, like, I don't know if you knew, in 2001, the Supreme Court got rid of a group's ability to bring a lawsuit under Title VI if the impacts were of a disparate impact. In other words, you had to prove intentional, which is very hard, as you know. If the policy has an impact on a particular race or nationality, you can no longer bring a lawsuit under that. You got to go to the federal government, and yeah, right, that Albert Gonzalez is going to really, bring a lawsuit for civil rights at King Drew. So, yeah, the situation is stark, but I definitely think that there was a beautiful fight here at King Drew, and I think that people should get involved. What's the one way that they can get any information? You would tell them where they can get involved, which groups are out there that are fighting for King Drew, Dr.
Well, Baker. Yeah. Well, there will be several websites. I think that there will be meetings as we rebuild the hospital and rebuild the community. And again, that's really the focus. Let's just put everything aside, all the hearsay aside, and let's talk about what the community needs today. And I think everyone can get on board rather than go back to the he said, she said. Everyone can get on board with rebuilding the community and rebuilding the facility. There's several organizations, the one Friends of King Drew, there's several organizations I think that in the very near future will actually start to develop coalitions. And there will be several websites. There's several websites now. I don't have the URL.
Sure.
But again, the internet is so very powerful. The two things that are happening that give me hope. Again, as you said, what's very, very scary, 1984, Brave New World, that there's really one major voice in the city now, and that's the LA Times.
Mm-hmm.
However, and this is even happening in Comedy Shine, the internet is so powerful. The internet is so powerful now that I think that people can get their messages to everybody here and everybody across the country, if not the world, in terms of what needs to happen.
Well, thank you, Dr. Richard Baker, Assistant Dean of Research at Charles Drew University. And we'll be right back with Clayton Thomas Mueller from the Indigenous Environmental Network. So
thank
stay
you.
Tuned.